Hello and welcome to Sandy by the Sea, a hearty slice of cultural life on the island at the end of England. I'm James Sandy, and in this programme I talk to Nick Downes and the players of the South Sea Shakespeare Actors about the company's history, its current production and its raw ambition to take the Bard to the modern stage. I explore the lot of the actor and learn about the showbiz pasts of some of the SSA's current members. I started by quizzing Nick on the group and its origins. So, Nick, tell me about the South Sea Shakespeare Actors.
Right, well, to some extent it's what it says on the tin. It's a bunch of actors. Mm-hmm. We are based in South Sea. And we specialise in Shakespeare, but we're not exclusively performing Shakespeare plays. But I would say about half of what we do is probably Shakespeare.
And why Shakespeare? Why is that the focus for the group?
Well, the group has been in existence for quite a long time and was set up as a Shakespearean company by a dentist, I believe he was, years ago in Portsmouth, called K. Edmunds Gately. And Edmunds Gately formed the South Sea Shakespeare Actors in 1947, and he was a real keen Shakespearean. But even from the outset, the company was doing plays other than Shakespeare plays. I guess he's the Rolls-Royce, I would say, playwrights, in terms of the roles that he's written for actors to do and the lines he's given them to perform. And they are great, most of them are great plays and great dramas. And I think we feel there is still a need to try and persuade people that Shakespeare can be accessible and relevant and interesting and good fun to be involved with, but also to go and watch. So I suppose if we have a mission, that sounds a bit grand, but if we have a mission, it is to make Shakespeare accessible so that anybody could come along and could enjoy it. One of the ways in which we do that is we try and work very hard on the visual elements of the play. So obviously the barrier to understanding with Shakespeare is the language. But if you can support the language visually, people have got a much better chance of following what's going on through appropriate gestures and body language and staging and behaviour generally. And we're proud of the fact that we're always congratulated on the accessibility of what we produce at the end. So
Shakespeare's work obviously is something that has endured, and we've only got to look at sort of recent films, if you like, in terms of some of the Baz Luhrmann films, kind of concentrating on that. And Shakespeare, I think, is probably most associated with Stratford-upon-Avon and bits of Warwickshire.
Yeah.
And some people would say it's unusual that there's a Shakespeare group here in Portsmouth where Dickens and Conan Doyle are kind of the literary figures. But you've, as you said, the group's been in existence sort of since the late 40s. Mm. And I think it's in a position where it's had sort of international recognition, not just national.
It has, yeah. We were the first amateur company in the world, according to the Guinness Book of Records, the first amateur company in the world to complete the whole canon, as it's called, the whole list of known Shakespeare plays, which there are, I think, 37. And sometime in the 60s, we, as it were, ticked the last one off on the list.
The whole set,
and we were the first people to do it. So I don't think we're in the Guinness Book of Records anymore, but certainly in the late 60s and into right up through the late 70s and early 80s, I believe, we had an entry in the Guinness Book of Records to that effect. I always feel that it's actually the quality of the work that's a bit more important to me than the quantity.
Of course.
And actually, having completed that, we now don't slavishly try and do every single play. Each time we see a gap in our programme coming up, we choose whichever play. Maybe it comes from a particular director who's got a fancy for a particular play, or we think, do you know what, this is a really popular play and we haven't done it for a good few years. Or sometimes a director thinks, I've just got a really good group of actors to tackle this particular play, so We're not following the list anymore. We're picking and choosing which ones we want to do.
And run through fire I will, for thy sweet sake. Oh, transparent Helena, nature's shrews her art that through thy bosom makes me see thy heart.
Tell me about your actors and about your members. Where do they come from?
Well, this is the fantastic thing about a group like this, I think, because there's such a mixture of people, and there are very few opportunities, really, nowadays, where such a broad range of people get together in a common endeavour. We're all, I suppose, because our homes are more comfortable and have more gadgets in and TVs and everything else, we're a bit less inclined to get involved in community events, I think. And it's fantastic, I think, that we have such a broad range of people. So, I mean, in age we go from about, well, we had a young lad in Romeo and Juliet last year. I think he was 13, maybe 14 at the most. And so we've always used people from school and colleges, university students, right through people in their working people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, retired people we have, and I think our oldest member currently is probably our chairman, Terry Wiseman, and he's 71. And in terms of what people do in terms of their background, again, a massive range. Terry, for instance, well, was very active as a carpenter, joiner. We have school teachers, we have single mums, we have other retired people, we have civil servants, we have IT types, we have
a big mix,
clerks, you name it, we've probably got somebody who does it. So,
and you've got a lot of talented amateurs. In fact, probably amateurs not the right word to use. Have you had people that have used it as a springboard to kind of a profession as an actor?
Yes, a number of people have gone through the company and gone on to drama school and come out of drama school and made some sort of career professionally. There was a guy, I think his name was Gavin Day, who came to us a couple of years ago, did Henry V, got a place at the RADA in London, and ended up in the Chichester Company recently in a play. So yeah, we have a number of people who do that. There is a bit of a springboard sometimes for young people, and we're proud of that, yeah.
Tell me about some of the productions, because as you mentioned, you've kind of done the full set of Shakespeare. You've done Richard III, you've done Antony and Cleopatra,
yeah.
Romeo and Juliet you mentioned. I think you've even done the Scottish play, I think I have to call it that.
We have, yeah.
And your most current, your work in progress at the moment, if you like, is Midsummer Night's Dream.
Mm-hmm.
And is that something the group's done previously, had a previous production of? Or?
Yes, I'm sure the listeners will think, well, that's... If somebody's heard of a few Shakespeare plays, then that's likely to be on the list. It's one of the best known, one of the most popular. And as a result, it's one that the company has done, well, I'm hazarding a guess, but I should think at least 6 or 8 times in the past. I think probably the last time was about maybe 5 years ago. But one of the great things about Shakespeare's plays is that there's very little specified in the script as to how to do it. It'll tell you the words, it'll tell you who's on stage. It won't tell you anything at all in terms of stage directions about what things look like or how people behave or how they say their lines. And as a result, there's quite a big area of interpretation and a chance to be a bit free with the text and set it more or less when you like, when seems to... something that seems to fit maybe the content and the subject of the play. And so it's always interesting to keep doing them. That's the point. Each one is different.
That's interesting, I think, because people will see... I think people have an idea about Shakespeare, of a classic interpretation of Shakespeare, if you like, which is probably an idea of perhaps a BBC production in the 60s or 70s. But from what you've said, there's a great deal of flexibility in terms of how you interpret it. So it's not perhaps the case that you're constantly doing the same plays, you're coming at them with new people and fresh ideas each time.
That's exactly it. I mean, I've directed The Dream before, although not with the SSA, but this one is going to be very different from the last one for that reason, that I've got different thoughts about the play, I've got a different bunch of actors, I'm setting it in a different kind of environment, a different kind of world, so it doesn't feel like just going round a treadmill of the same old play at all. I think that's one. That's probably one of the, people say, well, why? What is so great about Shakespeare? One of the great things is that the plays are constantly open to reinterpretation, so they always remain interesting to actors and directors to do.
No, I do repent the tedious minutes with her I have spent. Not Hermia, but Helena I love. Who would not change a raven for a dove?
And your current production, I think you're putting on towards the end of November, 23rd, yes. 24th, is that right?
We open on the 23rd. That'll be a Wednesday night, 23rd of November. And we're doing the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday. We'll do a matinee on Saturday afternoon, mm-hmm. as well as a performance on Saturday night. So we'll have five performances between the 23rd and the 26th of November.
And that's at the Groundlings mm-hmm. Theatre?
Which we've been to before. This time last year, we were preparing Romeo and Juliet, and it's a lovely, lovely building. The team there are really very supportive of us, very helpful on the technical front, and particularly on the marketing front, and so on. So it feels like you're being properly looked after at the Groundlings, and so I thought, well, I'd like to go back there really with this one.
The SSA, through its history, has had a number of sort of homes, if you like, kind of where it's been sort of principally located. I'm interested to know what sort of impact or influence, if you like, that venues or locations have on particular plays. I'm thinking that I think there was a popular sort of move, certainly in the 90s, to have Shakespeare in the Park or plays in the Park, and still a lot of that still goes on. Just obviously the environment and the atmosphere of a place must perhaps have an influence.
Yes, it certainly does. The size of a space can change the nature of a performance. Years ago, the SSA used to be able to put performances on at the King's. The company was very much bigger in those days and could command really big audiences. Obviously, performing on that size of a stage in that size of auditorium demands a certain degree of projection, for instance, in the voices, and quite big acting on stage to get to the back row, as it were. The NTR, where we've also performed in the last few years, not quite so big, and so we go down the scale in terms of different places we've been to. Groundlings is reasonably sizable, but we've also recently done performance of Shakespeare's Antony and Cleopatra at the Spring Arts Centre in Havant, which is really quite a small stage. There's pluses and minuses to the big venues and the smaller ones, but the smaller ones, of course, give you a bit more intimacy and allow the actors to be a little bit more natural in their playing, because the audience is close enough to get it. They don't need the big voices or the big acting. So yes, the range of different venues does have quite an impact, and that's one of the first decisions that we make in terms of once we know that we're going to do a particular play, the next question is where to do it, because it will affect all sorts of decisions by a director, and affect the style of acting.
Things growing are not ripe until their season, so I, being young, till now ripe not to reason, and touching now the point of human skill, reason becomes the marshal to my will, and leads me to your eyes, where I look love's stories written in love's richest book.
Just moving on to some of the more contemporary performances and productions that you've done. You've done things like, you've done Eightbourne, you've done Bedroom Farce. You've also done things like Trainspotting and Loot.
Yes.
I'm just interested in terms of how you come to those plays, and I wonder whether there's anything that's kind of off limits.
No, actually, there isn't anything that's off limits for the company, I would say. A number of the more avant-garde pieces, and in some cases maybe with quite shocking content, we've done those. A number of those we've done as in-house small productions here in our HQ to an invited audience rather than the public in general. This is not so much because we're worried necessarily about shocking people, because I think you have to let them know in advance to some extent what to expect anyway. Mm. It's more that these are sometimes plays which we would hesitate to put on in an expensive venue in case we can't get the audiences to come and watch. So we try them out in here, and we've had some really successful things. Trainspotting, for instance, was done here and was then taken to Portsmouth Sixth Form College for at least one date outside.
It must be a real challenge to take on something like Trainspotting, which obviously is very well known as a film with particular people in particular roles.
Yeah.
Are there different ways of approaching that material? Or
I wasn't involved personally in that particular show, but I think from speaking to people who were, one of the things that they consciously did was say, look, let's forget the film in the sense of let's not try to recreate the film. Let's almost try and unremember what we know about the film and look at it fresh as a text with a fresh bunch of actors. And actually the thing I remember thinking as I was watching them perform it here was exactly that I wasn't really thinking about Ewan McGregor and all the other better known faces that were in the film. It worked for what it was as a small scale piece of drama with those actors in this space. So I think they kind of achieved that.
So thou, my surfeit and my heresy, of all be hated, but the most of me, and all my powers address your love and might to honour Helen and to be her knight.
James, tell me how you got involved with the South Sea Shakespeare Actors.
I was introduced to South Sea Shakespeare Actors by an old teacher of mine at secondary school, who was Romeo in the last year's performance of Romeo and Juliet. And I wanted to get involved in amateur dramatics myself, so I thought this would be the best opportunity.
Is it something you've dabbled in before? Or
I've always sort of been involved in performing, either it being the actual performer or the technical side of it. So I just wanted to get it outside of school and college, really.
And at the moment you're rehearsing for Midsummer Night's Dream. And what's your part, what's your role in that?
My part is one of the fairies. It's sort of a back of the stage fairy. So we're noticed, but we're not the main parts, really.
Is it a traditional kind of fairy, or...?
I'm not sure. It's sort of my own spin on it, really.
Okay. Aaron, come to you next. tell me your story. How did you come to get involved with the group?
Again, similar to James, I did some work with the same person, and he suggested that this would be really good for me if I wanted to get into amateur dramatics, because everyone here is quite friendly and we just sort of just get on with everything. But after doing, I've done a lot of stuff with school, so it was nice to be able to come to an atmosphere like this and actually do something.
And is Shakespeare a writer that resonates with you? Is he someone that you've always liked?
To begin with, it was absolutely abysmal because I couldn't understand a word that was going on. But as I took went through drama GCSE and such, I noticed the beauty behind it, and it has a whole new meaning of anything else I've ever read or played or anything.
I guess, I mean, the language itself is quite challenging, isn't it? I guess, does it take a few reads to understand what's going on before you can actually articulate that?
It does, but once you've read a couple of the plays, you tend to understand how sentences string together. I find that now your brain naturally translates it into something you can understand.
Help me, Lysander, help me! Do thy best to pluck this crawling serpent from my breast!
Colette.
Yes.
Tell me how you've come to be involved with the SSA.
Right, the brief story is that I haven't been acting for a while, so I have a young daughter, and a friend of my dad's was looking for a director, and so I stepped in and helped him direct his play, and then got introduced to Nick, who said, you know, who found out that I was actually an actor first and foremost, and said, you know, if you're interested in doing something, and my appetite had already definitely been whetted, so I thought, yeah, great. Definitely, enough time has passed. Need to get back on the stage, so I jumped at the chance.
And what sort of acting had you done before you came here? You sort of done bits and bobs, or you?
Well, it is pretty much bits and bobs, although I did get quite focused at one point leaving school and stuff, and I went to London and trained at the Webb Douglas Academy.
All right.
And I got very serious, you know, but a few years of sort of just the odd fringe play and a couple of voiceovers and
all right.
being very, very poor.
So what sort of things have you done then? That intrigues me.
You know those, the voiceovers was terrible, because you know those adverts that you get for ringtones?
Yes.
Where you used to call in and used to say, I want the Mr. T phone or something.
Right.
And you used to call up and the lady used to say, press one for such and such.
And you were that lady?
I was that lady.
Wow.
Yes.
Jacinta, tell me about the fairies, because this is a fairy-based rehearsal in some ways.
Yes. I was called in to take over from a fairy whose fairy's wings had fallen. I think she was...
I'm not going to do any jokes about the National Health or Elf Service.
So this is only my second rehearsal, actually, so
okay.
I'm not au fait with what's going on very much at the moment. I know that my name is Peas Blossom in the script.
So how did you get involved? How did you come to acting?
Well, I used to act professionally. I went to the Arts Education School and Drama College and had a few small parts.
All right. What sort of things did you do? How small were those parts?
So small that I had a ginger ale and crossroads.
Really?
Yes, I had a heart attack in Angels. They just covered me up and said, she's gone. That's my claim to fame.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was just knock, knock, knocking on doors. It was a tough time.
Do you have a show reel of all these high points?
No.
Okay.
I actually thought, I'm going to take a year off, went over to Greece, stayed there for 10 years, got married, got divorced. Girlfriend of mine is a really good friend of Nick's.
Uh-huh.
And she said, for goodness sake, why don't you do what you loved? And I thought it was so elite to get into the SSA, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the age group. It's from
teenagers
up to old people like me. So.
It's obviously, you've just described a kind of a broad range of things.
Yes.
You've done previously. Is Shakespeare particularly someone that...
Well, I'm old-fashioned, so Shakespeare, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And... I'm au fait with the Shakespeare speak, because it's what I grew up with.
Uh-huh. Have you got a favourite Shakespeare play?
Hamlet.
Hamlet.
Yes.
Okay. And is that something you've been involved with?
Yeah, I've been in Hamlet before, but that was 20 odd years ago. So, and I'm hoping that at some point the SSA will do some Chekhov, because I'd quite like.
They do take on quite a varied range
they
of things.
Do,
it seems
do.
To me that, you know, for example, Trainspotting, I think, is a production
yes.
that I've done recently, which
yes.
is not naturally
lots
something
of
you might...
There's lots of offshoots where people who've been here for a few years and have learnt from the top will then go off and direct their own plays, and they might only be in their 20s,
mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean to say that they haven't got the knowledge or by being younger, it they bring something to older actors, and you think, hang on a minute, oh yeah. So it's an absolutely amazing place to belong to. It really is.
So what advice would you give to someone that hasn't done any acting before, but's interested, you know, has heard of Shakespeare or heard of acting? What advice would you give them in terms of
getting
involved?
I would say come along and talk to the people that sort of, like Nick, say what you're interested in. You don't have to act. We always need costumes, we always need makeup, and some of the shows we do, the makeup can be fantastic, you know, talk about Halloween. So I would just say it's something that you can absolutely fall in love with without realising that you are on stage and feeling frightened, nervous. It's something that will stay with you all your life.
I've read about the costumes. I've not seen any of the costumes yet, but I gather there are some fantastic
yes,
ones.
Yes, normally there are here, yes. It's all done down to the minute detail. I mean, Nick is absolutely passionate about what he does, and what he does is done properly. So it's a very relaxed atmosphere here, but there is a lot of hard work going on as well.
That's great. I shall now go off and look at the Crossroads box set to see if I can see you in there. But thanks for talking to me. Thanks.
Thank you.
Ellie and Alex,
hi.
I'm led to believe you're lovers.
Yeah.
On stage.
Yes. So tell me about that. Is that a difficult thing to do? Is acting difficult when there's a love interest?
I think sometimes it like, I think you're more trying to get your words right and stand in the right place, so rather than feeling that kind of physical awkwardness with someone that you might feel, because it's such an unnatural thing, because it's so staged and choreographed and you're thinking about everything. It's not particularly realistic from the inside out, rather than the audience hopefully perceive it to look natural.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think, to be honest, once you get the words right, it's, after that it makes it so much easier. Acting with scripts in your hand, it was almost impossible to try and convey emotions, especially when it comes to love interests and love scenes, because they're so, I personally think they're a lot harder to do than, let's say, comedy or death or something like that. I think properly being able to convey a love scene and doing it effectively is a really hard task to do.
Yeah, it is, and you have to be so mature and so able to meet, because we've only just met recently, so you just have to just then
get on with it, really.
Find something that you get on, like, you get on with each other, and then you just do it.
So Adam, you were doing some very physical rehearsals earlier on. You were throwing yourself from one end of the room to the next.
I was.
What's that in aid of?
Well, I'm playing Puck in Midsummer Night's Dream.
Another big character.
Another one, yeah. Last year I played Romeo, which is, as you can imagine, quite different from a fairy in a way. The scene I was just doing then was a scene where Puck comes in and to tell his boss, Oberon, that he's done the job, but he hasn't just done it. He's done it perfectly and with a bit little, you know, extra perks on the way. And he's basically come in like a sort of kid waiting to tell his, you know, show off to his dad or something. Oh, you never guess what I did. And that's kind of what that was. And I mean, Puck, I've sort of come to find him as, he is quite childlike, but quite crafty at the same time, with a bit of wit. So he's come in with these two fairy friends, sort of trying to describe with him, you know, he's trying to run away with his words, and then he suddenly goes, hang on, you'll love this bit, you know, he goes, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then suddenly it's a big explosion, which is what you were seeing, the kind of running around to try and symbolise what happens, using the others quite physically, so the audience get, you know, it's quite easy for Park, as we found in rehearsals. I've come in and done that speech full of excitement, but lost quite a lot of it because my voice is, I mean, I've just rehearsed it now, so my voice is probably running away now, but I was doing that very thing, and Nick sort of, you know, said, turn it down, let's try it completely opposite, and I did. We did it very, almost like, you know, I'm telling you a secret, right?
Okay, kind I like secrets.
Like that. And
we won't share it with anyone.
No. Well, yeah. And you know, I think that's quite important, because it's always better to offer a director more, I think. And for them to say, well, that's great, you've offered me that, but let's tone it down. And just today, really, he's added those two people, the other fairies. And we've just found it. It sort of fixes it, you know, it goes with it. So I think that's very much what these rehearsals have been like, really. I've gone, like I say, Romeo, which is quite a straight part, essentially, although he's a hopeless romantic. It's gone from that to this childish sort of fairy, unreal character.
I think some people might imagine that a bunch of actors who call themselves the South Sea Shakespeare actors might be a bit toffee-nosed and a bit standoffish and a bit clever dicky and a bit la-di-da, but we'd like to think we're none of those things.
There's a real open-door policy to anyone that's...
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We encourage people, and I mean, part of what a company like us can do, I think, is if people have got any sort of talent at all, through doing plays, you know, they will learn to develop that. So if they're keen to actually develop their acting, maybe they've never done anything before, haven't done anything for years, perhaps since they were at school, you know, the South Sea Shakespeare Actors does offer a chance for people to come and have a go and try it out. So it's very much an open door policy. So I get a lot of satisfaction out of taking a bunch of actors and an old play, and hopefully making something out of it that we all feel brings the play alive, audiences will enjoy, and we've enjoyed the process of putting it together.
The South Sea Shakespeare Actors production of A Midsummer Night's Dream will be held at the Groundlings Theatre on Wednesday the 23rd through to Saturday the 26th of November at 7:30 p.m. with a matinee on Saturday the 26th at 2:30 p.m. For more details and tickets, contact the box office on 023 9273 7370. For more details of the company, go to www.southseashakespeareactors.com. My thanks to Nick and the other players for taking time out of their busy rehearsal schedule to talk to me for this programme. Sandy by the Sea is written and presented by me, James Sandy, and is a King of the Buttons production for 93.7 Express FM.